Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the program host, guest, or participants, and not necessarily those of KKRN Community Radio and Acorn Community Enterprises or the underwriters of this station. Welcome to Candidate Interviews and Voter Information, presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. In each of the programs where we interview candidates running for the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 3, each candidate will be asked the same question. Each candidate was given the questions in advance. Also, there's a special presentation by the League of Women Voters Reading Area discussing the measures and initiatives that are coming up in the current November 2024 election. In this program, we welcome incumbent candidate Mary Rickert. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you for having me. It's a joy to be here.
Yeah, it's so good to have you. And, you know, really our intention with our programs is to inform and educate the community so that they're prepared to vote in the November election and get to know the candidates.
It's a very important election for Shasta County, and the District 3 voters really have a say as to the direction that this current board goes into the future.
Yeah, so very important time.
It is. It's critical.
Not only locally, but nationally, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, definitely. So I like the listeners to be able to get to know you if they're not familiar with you, especially those in District 3 that'll be voting.
Right.
They should know you.
Right.
So where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in the San Joaquin Valley in San Luis Obispo area and went to school at Cal Poly. That's where I met my husband many years ago. A little known fact is I was a dairy science major in college, but that's a whole other story. So I've always been in agriculture all of my life. I love it dearly. I wouldn't have it any other way. I've spent a lot of my adult life in volunteer work, and I started in my 20s, and 50 years later, here I am still doing the same thing. And I come from a family that has a strong legacy of giving back and making California a better place. So I want to continue that, and so this is my effort to try and make Shasta County a better place to live. I have grandchildren that live here, and that's a very strong part of my motivation.
Yeah, excellent. So when you left Cal Poly, you came back this way.
Yes, eventually. My husband, he went back to Purdue, got a master's degree in ag economics. We got married after that.
Mm.
And then we went to Arizona for a while in Nevada for a year, and then we came back. He has roots in Cottonwood, and then 36 years ago, we moved to Fall River Valley. And
wow.
I've lived in MacArthur for that amount of time and love where I live out on a ranch, and the closest stoplight for me is 30 miles. It's in Burney. So that's the way I like to live. I'm very much a country girl.
Yes, I love the beauty of our countryside.
Right.
That's why I live in Redding,
yes.
So I can access it readily.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit more about your educational background.
Sure.
So you grew up and then went off to college right at Cal Poly?
Right, yes. I have a real family ties to Cal Poly. In 1933, my grandfather went there. They were going to close the doors during the Depression.
Wow.
It was at the time a vocational high school.
Wow.
And it's kind of a very long, complicated story. I'll try to give you the Cliff Note version, but he was asked to step in by a state senator and to keep the doors open. And so he was president of Cal Poly for 33 years.
Wow.
And he founded Cal Poly Pomona. So, and then my father was in ag education and worked for the State Department of Education. And he also was very active. And just, and then I have a couple siblings actually taught at Cal Poly. My children all went there. My siblings all went there. So it's a very long tradition. That's where my mother met my father. She was a high school girl living at the president's house, and my dad was a student at the school, and they got married after they completed their education. She graduated from Berkeley, and at that time, Cal Poly was a 3-year school, so he had to go to Utah and to get his bachelor's degree.
I see. That's interesting. So your degree is in dairy science?
Dairy science, and then I have, as an adult, I did a couple of degrees from Simpson College at night. I'd drive down from MacArthur. I'd usually get home about 11:19. I always timed it. It would take me an hour and 19 minutes to get home from Simpson. And so I have a degree in business and also psychology.
That's wonderful. Those kind of come in handy, don't they?
Psychology, especially, yes.
And I imagine business. I mean, especially. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's the other thing is my husband and I started basically with nothing. We have a farm ranch management consulting business. We have managed properties for absentee owners, primarily from the Bay Area, Southern California. And at the peak of our management, we had about 42,000 acres in five counties that we wow. managed. Right now, we're scaling back as many of our clients have passed away, and some of their children have sold their properties, which is fine because we're kind of wanting to slow down a little bit too. But we also, Jim's an accredited rural appraiser, so we do a lot of appraisal work in the North State, and he's also a real estate broker for farms and ranches. So I've been deeply entrenched in agriculture. I know a lot about agriculture. On many different levels, in the business side. And me personally, I handle about 25 sets of books. And so I've done wow. extensive counting for many, many years for our clients. And we work for really high-end individuals. One was the CEO of Wells Fargo Bank, that kind of thing. So I do have extensive knowledge in business. And that's why when you hear me at the board meetings, I talk about dollars and cents all the time about yeah. saving money and being fiscally responsible.
And it's really important to recognize, too, that as a private person, you've been very successful in business.
We have been very successful. I don't talk about it much. I'm uncomfortable. But my husband and I, in the 2000s, we were selected as the Farm Managers of the Year for the state for the United States from an organization called the American Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers. We have also won the Commercial Producer of the Year Award for our wow. Prather Ranch Cattle Herd, which is the number one commercial producer of in North America, actually. It stretches Canada to South America, or Middle America. And so we've won the Aldo Leopold Award. We've won the Governor's Award twice for our economic and environmental stewardship practices. So we've been on the forefront of agriculture. And then the cattle herd, this Prather Ranch cattle herd, a lot of people don't know about it, is we've raised since 1990 these cattle for biomedical purposes, not just the meat. Mm. So when you have a dental implant, it could very well come from one of our cow bones.
Wow.
We've sold collagen for all kinds of uses. Right now we're selling a lot of ovaries to a research center in Chicago. So this has been going on for, like I say, 35 years. And what makes me feel really blessed is that not only are we raising these cattle for meat, a good, very good meat product, but we're using as much of the animals we possibly can, and it's improving the lives of people in the medical field. And so we have a closed herd, and we follow all these protocols, and we have our own USDA federally inspected slaughterhouse. So and we've had auditors from all over the world to come in and audit us, and they said there's just nothing like it in the entire globe, the size and scale of what we have been doing. So I don't talk about it much, but it's a very much a part of who I am, and I'm very proud to say that we, you know, have made a difference in people's lives in terms of improving their health.
Well, not only, like you say, providing a product for market for consumption, human consumption, but that biomedical is fascinating.
It is, and like I say, I could go on and on to the different applications. We had one company, the one thing about the biomedical companies, they get bought out and they absorb into other ones, or they change their practices. But we had one company, we sold pituitary glands, and it was part of something for a skin treatment. And we were told that we literally saved lives. It's very experimental, but those are the kinds of things that make it worthwhile to really invest the extra time and energy into the whole process of what we have going on up there.
That's fascinating. I can see how your dairy science, business, psychology, oh, sure. all that comes into play.
It all comes into play. And so I have had extensive experience in business. And like I say, we've achieved about every possible award or recognition throughout the industry that we possibly can. And so after we had kind of done that, I turned to my husband, and I did serve on the State Board of Forestry and Fire Protection as the range livestock representative. And I kept feeling that Shasta County needed someone on the board that really had a passion and an understanding of mental health and substance use. And I was served on the mental health board for 10 years for Shasta County. And I was also very much involved with NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, and I taught the family-to-family course. And so having a family member with an issue, I know a lot about mental illness. And so I felt that it was really imperative that I step up and do what I could. And I have been able to as a supervisor. The first year I was a supervisor, I brought a speaker, Sam Kiononis, who wrote a book called Dreamland. And it talks about the opioid addiction crisis in this country. And he was an excellent speaker. I think we drew about 300 or 400 people to that event. And so I started right out of the gate as a supervisor trying to educate Shasta County. Right now we have a super fentanyl crisis. We continue to have a methamphetamine crisis.
Yeah.
We have really high statistics in our mental health realm in this county alone. And so that's something that I want to continue that work. I worked with our county council, Jim Ross. He's since left Shasta County. And he was the leader of a group of counties to sue Big Pharma. And we have about $35 million that we will have access to over the next 15 years. So that is something I want to be sure to stick around for and make sure those dollars are spent effectively.
You know, I think it's so imperative. That's the reason I want to do the interviews, because oftentimes in candidate forums or when you're having conversations mm-hmm. or you're asked different things, you don't have the opportunity really for people to see your background and how you've been working mm-hmm. all these years, privately as well as working on the Board of Supervisors.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about family, you have... How many children?
Three children and six grandchildren.
Good for you. Yeah. And I think it's imperative for especially representatives in government to really kind of roll up their sleeves and get into different issues, not mm-hmm. just from afar, but really have be involved, because it's the way you bring that wisdom mm-hmm. and understanding when there's mm-hmm. issues to be voted upon.
Well, you have the compassion and the empathy that I think yeah. is important. And that's one thing I think it's very important that as a female to continue on the board. I do think that we need to have diversity. We need to have balance. And I think I bring a different perspective to the board than some of my fellow board members. And I think that's important. You know, if you have a homogeneous board, then you only have one kind of thought process moving forward, one set of values, one set of opinions. And this way, it's important to have that diversity, to have the ability to, for each one of us to have areas that we really have a passion for and really want to focus on.
Yeah, and you know, and obviously you're very invested in your life here in the North State.
Very much so. My husband and I have been married 51 years, and I've been here, we moved here about 50 years ago, or he moved back, and so I have been here for 50 years. And
wow.
Not planning on going any place. When you're in agriculture and you're tied to the land, and we have some beautiful properties that bring such joy and peace and harmony to my inner soul, I could never walk away from them.
You know, I do want to ask you a question a little off our beaten track, because I know that I've heard rumors, and I know you have addressed them, where people say she doesn't actually live up in that area. Can you address that?
No, I live in MacArthur. That's my
yes.
primary residence. And we do have a ranch down by Anderson, but part of that ranch is in District 3. So, you know, I'm in both properties. It's 80 miles from my house in MacArthur
wow.
to the county office. So instead of driving every day, then sometimes I will stay down at my Anderson house, which is still 25 miles into town. So it's when you're a rancher, oftentimes people have more than one location
yes.
that they operate. And we have to, but with the size of the cattle herd we have.
And like you said, the place at Anderson is also part of it's in District 3.
It is in District 3. It is. It has a portion of it that is in District 3.
And I can imagine anyone would not want to drive every day 80 miles to work.
No, especially in the winter.
Yes, especially in the winter. This is a segment of candidate interviews and voter information presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. And I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. We are here in conversation with Shasta County Board of Supervisor District 3 candidate and incumbent Mary Rickard. And each of our programs, our intention is to give the candidates for District 3 Board of Supervisors an opportunity to talk about their background and for the community to get to know them as individuals so that it helps us in making a decision for voting in November 2024. So with all of the many things you've been involved with through the years, Mary, in your private life, what inspired you to run for the Board of Supervisors?
Well, as I said, stated earlier, is I was on the serving on the State Board of Forestry and Fire Protection, and you know, I just kept watching Shasta County experience more homelessness, more substance use issues, more domestic violence, more child abuse, and you know, you would read the statistics, and I kept up with it just with my work following the mental health realm, and I just felt that we really needed a strong advocate on the Board of Supervisors to bring that particular topic and issue to the forefront. You know, if we could help solve some mental health issues, get people the treatment that they need, if we could address their substance use issue, because oftentimes you have a comorbid situation where they self-medicate. And so if we could get to the root of that, then that would help stabilize people and you wouldn't find them living on the streets.
Yeah.
And so, and it also would decrease our crime because people would become sober, become productive citizens. And I've watched it over the years as a supervisor that we have the Addicted Offender Program and people that get their lives together. We have the Day Reporting Center here in town. We have several nonprofits that do an amazing job of getting people reestablished and stabilized in their home and in with their back with their families and get them back on the track. And so that to me is going to improve the quality of life for every single resident of Shasta County.
Absolutely.
You won't have, and we tried getting Measure A passed, I think it was in 2019, and it didn't pass. And I think we need to continue to focus on expanding our jail. In 2019, actually, that board, it was Leonard Modi, Steve Morgan, I think Les Baugh, David Kehoe and I, we expanded the jail by 64 beds. And so we have made an effort. We did do that. We did accomplish that. And I just haven't seen any movement on it with this particular board. They've decided to discard their plans to work on building a jail. And I suggested that we form an ad hoc committee to look at other alternatives, even some, you know, diversion programs or something that we could focus on. We do have some money that was set aside for the jail. Let's work on something that and do something now. I don't want to just kick the can down the road and say we don't have the money and throw up our hands. That's not what you're on the board for. You're here to find solutions.
Yeah, problem solved.
And so, but when I brought that forward in a board meeting, I couldn't get any of them to agree with me.
Wow.
So very frustrating for me.
I can imagine. You know, I think the point too you make about addiction, and when there's an intervention and a person can get into sobriety, that not only changes that person's life.
Absolutely.
It has that ripple effect upon the whole family.
It does.
Upon the whole community.
It does.
And so addiction can lead to homelessness and unemployment. It can lead to chronic illnesses. I mean, there's a plethora of things that are part of a solution that our community, all communities, really needs to be focused on.
And as a fiscal conservative, I look at that, not only is that a great benefit, but also financially you're saving money as a community. Because once that person's stabilized, they're not in the system.
Yeah.
And so we are saving money by getting them stable and helping them get sober.
Yes. It's like oftentimes I talk with individuals that are working with the unsheltered. Mm-hmm. And what we recognize, it's much less expensive to shelter and help them get stable than to have them go to jail, have them go to the ERs. So you're saving money. It's hard for people to really understand
that. So it's a win-win on two levels.
Yes. So tell me about your political party affiliation. You talked about fiscal conservative. So what chose you, made you think in terms of that?
Well, you know, I came from a long line of several generations of Democrats. And so when I was 18, I registered as a Democrat because that's what my entire family was. But I changed 35 years ago. And so my grandfather was a good friend of Ronald Reagan, who also was a Democrat, who changed to a Republican. And of course, I think it was Trump changed in 2009. He was a Democrat and changed to Republican. So it does happen. But I am definitely a conservative. I've been labeled a progressive liberal. You don't have to care about people and have to be a liberal to do that.
Right.
You can be a conservative and care about people just as much. You know, I follow my faith, and I ask myself every day, what would Jesus ask me to do? Mm-hmm. And so that's really my motivator. And what did he say? You know, take care of the least of our brothers. And so I try to take that to heart every single day of my life.
I think having that guidance promotes that compassion, mm-hmm. promotes thinking more than just about self, but about community.
That's right.
I think it's a very powerful mm-hmm. way to be in the world. So you mentioned, too, about your legacy and leaving the Democratic Party, going to Republican. And when you think about what you want people to know you as, you're a Republican, you're a fiscal conservative, mm-hmm. and you're about?
I am about trying to get Shasta County back on track. We've kind of lost our sense of self in terms of functioning as a governance that is in all inclusive, that we listen to everyone, that we are respectful to people. You know, I've been criticized by my opponent of being part of the problem on the board level. I don't object to some of the things that I say just to cause trouble. I do it because I try to hold them accountable. And I really think that a healthy discussion is important. The other thing is, you know, during COVID 2020, I was chair of the board, and we had a lot of people come up extraordinarily angry about the governor's mandate to close board chambers and government offices. That wasn't my decision. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know what this pandemic was going to do. We couldn't look into the future. We gave all kinds of options. People could email, people could call in. We actually opened the board chambers at the back where the back two doors are and put a microphone back there so they still could come into the foyer and give their 3 minutes of public comment. And so we tried to be as respectful as we could. And, you know, I don't know about you, Lynn, but I had several people that I really admired and respected that died from COVID.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that we could dismiss as just simply a cold. I went to several funerals.
Yes.
And we, for instance, we lost an incredibly talented president of our school board in Fall River Valley, Terry V. Hill. It just broke my heart at the age of 60. And she left behind a devastated husband and four highly accomplished children. And they miss her terribly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I could tell story after story of people that we lost way too soon to COVID.
And, you know, you think about COVID, the losses in the U.S., but it was losses around mm-hmm. the world. And it is a state we have to deal with, probably in perpetuity.
Right. The reality is it was a pandemic, and we dealt with it the best we could. And I'm sorry, but, you know, Dr. Ramstrom was doing a fantastic job. We were one of the most open counties in the entire state. We were the only county with economic growth. The only county in the state. It was minor, but it was economic growth.
We'll take it.
We'll take it. And Karen Ramstrom, God bless her, I'm a FFA and 4-H'er, and matter of fact, I was lobbied to get girls into FFA in 1969, I'll age myself. And I knew that the kids had purchased their market animals, and basically, you know, the pandemic hit, they weren't going to be able to show at the fair. Well, I worked closely with a lady from Montgomery Creek, Wendy Johnston, and we, because of my contacts, my family contacts, and my personal relationships with the Secretary of Ag and the head of the 4-H program for California, Glenda Humiston, and I worked with them, and we were able to let those kids show their animals and sell them in June of 2020.
Wow.
We were the first county in the state, and we developed the template that other counties were able to do.
That's awesome.
And also, we were able to have the Intermountain Fair that year, the same way that we had done the Anderson Fair. And so those kids, it was a $2 million sale at the Junior Livestock
wow.
Sale. If we hadn't made that effort, if I hadn't made that effort as a supervisor, those families would have made, they wouldn't have been able to recoup those losses.
Yeah.
So those are some of the accomplishments I've had as a supervisor. Another one that I'm particularly proud of is my time on the Board of Forestry really educated me about the need for local communities dealing with fuel reduction projects. And of course, we had the car fire, and we've had so many fires in
yes.
Shasta County over the years. So I came back and took a while, but we did get a fire safe council. We have a Shasta County Fire Safe Council. We have many, many fire wise communities now in Shasta County, which helps those little neighborhoods fireproof as much as you can their neighborhoods. It also reduces their insurance if they can get it. Insurance is a huge problem for all of us. You don't even want to use the insurance word around my husband. He gets a little crazy.
Yeah, really.
Because,
challenging.
All of us have been canceled. All of us have had to scramble. A lot
yeah.
of us are in the California Fair Plan. And I really do feel the pain of everyone because I understand completely.
Yes, that's very challenging. I want to go back and touch, you talked about serving mm-hmm. as the chair of the Board of Supervisors during COVID.
Right.
And what I wanted you to make a comment on or share your thoughts or reflections upon. We're a county government, Board of Supervisors. And when you think of the state versus federal, sometimes you hear people say, we need to do our own thing. We need to just do what we want to do.
Right.
How do you work with that? And what's the encouragement you want us as a community here in the North State, Shasta County specifically, to think about those relationships?
Well, like it or not, Shasta County is a subdivision of the state. We can't just draw a line around our border and say we want to do our own thing. People say, well, we should break away from the state of California. Well, I want to ask people, if we break away from the state of California, what happens when the next big fire comes along?
Mm-hmm.
The volunteer fire departments in Shasta County are not going to be able to put out that kind of a fire.
Yeah.
Look at the Park Fire and look at the extraordinary effort that Cal Fire made in order to make sure that fire didn't reach Shingletown and Manton and Oak Run and Whitmore, all the small communities that would have just literally
Gone up in smoke.
Yeah. I mean, it was just horrible. So that's just one example. We are extraordinarily dependent in our county budget. See, only about 30% of our county budget is general fund dollars that we can spend that comes in. We are very much reliant on state and federal dollars. Our county would just collapse. A lot of our Prop 1 money goes into roads, fixing roads. Well, we wouldn't have those kind of resources. And people say, oh, well, we'll just sell our water. It's not our water. It's the Bureau of Reclamation that
yeah.
dictates where that water goes. And so it gets complicated. I know everybody wants to be independent. As a conservative Republican myself, I'm not thrilled with what's going on in Sacramento, but we just have to try and do the best we can with what we've got and move forward as a county and hold our head up high and serve our constituents.
And when you serve on the Board of Supervisors, you represent, in this case, District 3.
Yes.
And so the balance is, how would you talk about the balance between being a local representative and trying to interface and work with the state? Your
well,
voice for the people,
yeah,
you might say.
It's challenging. We have a couple of organizations, California State Association of Counties, CSAC, and then the Rural Representatives of Rural Counties is RCRC. And I have a connection with someone at RCRC, and I speak with her. I have not, since I'm not chair, I was not appointed to either one of those, even though I have state-level experience on boards. And especially the RCRC, I'm the most rural board member on that board.
But the RCRC?
Yes, the rural counties one. And mm-hmm. yet Mr. Cry has chosen to appoint himself to that board. So they ask me down in Sacramento, why aren't you on this board all the time? They really wish I was because of my extensive background in agriculture, forestry.
Yeah.
And so, but it is what it is. I don't make those decisions. The chair does. And so, but it is important to have one thing that I've been really working hard, extraordinarily hard on for the last couple of years is the Fountain Wind Project that we're trying to fight the California Energy Commission. And so, and I use the word fight, but I'm also trying to get along with those people and to
negotiate,
win them over,
yeah,
and to explain to them. And I've actually had some fairly good conversations with some of them. I do a lot of virtual meetings with them. They did come up here and do a hearing. I felt like they were open to what our issues are up here. And I don't know. One of my big concerns is we've had a couple of different county councils, because as a lot of people know, we've gone through 6 county councils in the last year and a half at Shasta County, which is very troubling in my mind. And we had an attorney that was very, very competent, and he left for a job in Rockland. And then we just lost our resource management department director, who was an integral part of this fight. And now the board majority, I voted no, have selected someone as the interim director of the resource management that used to work for Reverge Anselmo. And so it's quite concerning to me where the
yes.
where this fight to save the Round Mountain Montgomery Creek area from this project is going. Again, I'm deeply concerned. I will continue that fight any way I can. I don't know how this is going to play
out.
Forward as far as the county is concerned, because Paul Hellman was the director of resource management. He was so invested in fighting this, and I just don't know how this new person's going to be.
Can you, in a nutshell, kind of describe this project, what they want to do?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are familiar, obviously, with the Hatchet Ridge Project, but the Hatchet Ridge Project was on a ridge. Now, I'm a great believer in renewable energy. My husband
yes.
and I use a lot of solar in our farming operations, huge solar. And we also have a slaughterhouse that's powered by solar.
Mm-hmm.
So renewable energy is not the problem. The problem is the location. You don't put 600-foot tall wind turbines in the middle of a thickly forested area. It would not be like Hatchet Ridge. It would not be up on a ridge. And fixed-wing aircraft could not fight a fire in that circumstance. For those of you, if you remember the Park Fire, we saw the jets flying in and out of the Redding Airport fighting the Park Fire aggressively,
yeah.
dumping retardant on the Park Fire to keep it from coming into Shasta County. And they were able to do that. What my concern is that, you know, we have a lightning storm go through. Living in the mountains, I've watched it, but I've lived it before.
Yeah.
And it can ignite fires, and you can have 2 or 3, and all of a sudden, before you know, especially if it's in the summertime with a, you know, north wind blowing,
yep.
it's a problem. And we've had the Fountain Wire. It burned 40,000 acres in 2 days
mm-hmm.
back in the 90s. And I don't want to see a repeat of that. I don't want lives lost. I don't want property lost. And I will continue to fight for the residents of Shasta County. And my opponent, you know, in 2021, he came before the board when we made that decision to reject the Fountain Wind Project. Anyone can go on that video and see where he supports the Fountain Wind Project. And I am deeply opposed to it.
Yeah.
And it's a safety factor. It's a safety factor.
Which is a huge thing to consider.
You know, there's nothing more valuable than a human life.
Absolutely. This is a segment of Candidate Interviews and Voter Information presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. And I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. We are here in conversation with Shasta County Board of Supervisor District 3 candidate and incumbent Mary Rickert. You know, there's a lot to consider. You know, when did you first start serving on the Board of Supervisors?
2017.
Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of experience working
I
with
do.
Local organizations, mm-hmm. government, right. state, the whole spectrum.
Exactly. And
yeah.
and that's the other thing is that we have Patrick Jones, who's going off the board, and he's been on there a little over 3.5 years. Kevin Cry and Chris Kellstrom haven't been on even 2 years, and Tim Garman's been on about 2 years. So there's a real lack of institutional knowledge and an understanding of the history of what's gone on in the last, say, 8 years. And so that's the one thing I bring to the board. I remember one board meeting, I was talking about some topic. I don't remember what the topic was. But I looked around the room, and I said, well, does anybody remember that? And I was shocked. There wasn't one person in the board chambers that had been with the county at that point in time. I was the only one in the room. So that is really important. How many people as an employer, anybody that has any kind of a business, that you want all new employees?
Yeah.
Because somebody needs to have the context and the understanding of the historical knowledge of the past in order. And you, you know, once you get somebody trained into a particular, we have meat cutters in our business.
Mm-hmm.
You want them trained. Well, if you have all brand new meat cutters, it takes a while to develop that craft and that art. And so you want to have experience. Experience really does matter.
Yeah. And I think not only experience and the history, you know, having that lived history, mm-hmm. but also you've formulated relationships.
I have a tremendous amount of relationships. And knowledge of, you know, what, when somebody says, well, what do we do? I was talking to Supervisor Kehoe. He's retired now. And we were talking about a serious issue in mental health realm, and because he's also on the mental health board, because I'm the liaison from the board. And, you know, we started talking about, well, who would be the best people to help with this particular project? The
mm-hmm.
It was a Prop 1 funding is what we were talking about. And so, yes, right off the bat, David and I were able to come up with a very extensive list of people that have been around for 10 or 20 years in Shasta County and really understand the mental health system here. And that's what's important is to bring those partners to the table that can really contribute and make a difference and make things happen.
Yes, instead of starting at square one
right. With
no experience. That's critical. Well, I know you've served on lots of boards, advisory mm-hmm. committees, not only locally, but as you say, in the state as well. If you are reelected,
mm-hmm.
you talked about addiction and the homeless. What do you think are the maybe top three? It's hard to choose, isn't
these
it?
These are kind of all interconnected. Public safety is huge. Everyone wants to feel safe in their neighborhoods. They want to be able to feel if they forget to lock their door that when they come home, everything's intact.
Yes, really.
My husband and I have some horrible stories. And some of, you know, we manage a lot of properties for absentee owners. And we've had break-ins. And it's just devastating for people. So, but oftentimes, who are the ones that are breaking in? It's someone that has a drug addiction, and they're just looking to steal something so they can get money to support their habit.
Yeah.
So that's all interconnected. Public safety, mental health, substance abuse. Those are the top priorities in my mind. I do think that, you know, fire hazard and insurance is a big problem. I've talked to people, representatives from the Dalles office. I've talked to all kinds of people in Sacramento about this, and I will continue to talk about it. But it's something that our legislature is really in charge of. It's not something we can do on a local level. All we can do is convey to our constituents, you know, what's the best approach to try and alleviate some of the risk.
Try to influence what they're doing. And I think
educate. And early on, right after the car fire, I held a few workshops about how to harden your home and how to improve your defensible space. And I will continue to do that. But we have the Fire Safe Council doing a lot of that now. So it was one of my goals was to get them out there. And they do all kinds of great work.
It's nice to feel like you can make a difference, huh?
Yeah, and that was one of the more rewarding things that I've accomplished.
Yes. You know, as representative of District 3, if you're reelected, there's the other districts that you have. You know, you have your focus for what you're doing with District 3, but it's broader than that. You have a relationship with everyone in Shasta County and beyond.
Yes.
And so I think being able to have that history, being able to have the established relationships, lots of experience.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to be able to wave a magic wand, what would you see coming into Shasta County or shifts and changes in Shasta County that you would like to see?
One thing I would love to see is to restore civility and decorum at our board meetings. I cannot tell you how many national and international journalists that have contacted me. 2 weeks ago, I had two reporters from the Netherlands here, and they're doing a documentary on Shasta County and the upheaval and the lack of respect that is shown to the public and the public towards the board. And I shared this at the forum the other night, is that, you know, I'm trying to be painted as part of the problem on the board. But when I was on the board prior to COVID and when the old guard, we got along pretty darn well. You could go back, look at the old meetings. We were respectful to each other.
Even
when we disagreed. We liked each other. We got along. We worked together. Mm-hmm. And we got things done, just like getting those 64 beds expanded in the jail. It's a very different environment now. Women are not getting the respect that they deserve. People have witnessed it time and time again. I'm talked over. I'm diminished. I'm cut off. And that's not the way it should be. And I also feel that the board sets the tone for the entire meeting.
Yes.
And if the board is disrespectful to the speakers, then it just becomes a back and forth. And so that's all I can say, is that I do think it's important. I'm tired of being on the national spotlight. I am really. I've had The Daily Show call me, producers and directors. They want to come out and do a story. And they said, quite honestly, we don't even know where to start. There's so much material. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah. I think being able to have dialogues, even when we disagree with someone, that are respectful, where we listen, we mm-hmm. may decide that we don't agree, we see things differently, but to be able to hear each other and be respectful during that process, I think is critical. Isn't that what we teach our children in school?
Well, interesting you should say that. I have six grandchildren, and I refuse to have them attend a board meeting, which is tragic. Yeah. What an opportunity for them to kind of learn about civics and how local government works. But there's no way I want them in those board chambers.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the way that I'm attacked, not the way that people speak. It's just not appropriate.
And my encouragement to listeners always, as I have conversations with candidates, with the League of Women Voters and other individuals and nonprofit organizations, you know, I think it's important to be part of our community to engage. Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes people have families and work schedules, but it's nice to know that even a person that works and cannot attend the meetings in person, they can through video even after the fact.
Right. The next day, it's usually up on the archives, and you can watch the whole meeting.
Yes. And I think it's important that people tune in, mm-hmm. see what's going on, see how the inner workings of the Board of Supervisors are functioning, because that may influence voting.
Yes, and I know several supervisors up and down the state, and it's sad to say, but they actually watch our meetings, or they watch bits and pieces of it. And I can't tell you how many times I've said, they've said to me, "Gee, Mary, I'm so sorry what you have to endure."
Yeah.
And that's sad. Shasta County used to be the stellar county in the North State. We had the best reputation. We had, we were the one that was looked up to. All the surrounding counties, not anymore. And I want to return that status to Shasta County. I look forward with Matt Plummer and Alan Long coming into office, and I think that's going to be a real step forward.
So here's a question I want you to address. What values, qualities do you feel are essential for a supervisor to possess and bring to the board, whether it's you or somebody else?
Yeah, one thing that's really important to me is that this is a nonpartisan position, and the supervisor needs to remember that. We've become very tribal in Shasta County, and I don't think that that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. I don't care what party my constituent belongs to. I don't even want to know. It's not pertinent. I want to solve their problem, whether it's, you know, how do I file a complaint about a neighbor who's not cleaning up his yard, or, you know, whatever, something through code enforcement. I don't care what party you belong to. What I want to do...
Or should we?
Or should we? You need to represent everyone, and you should not favor one particular political faction over another. And that's what's happening today. So that, to me, is really, really important. And then, you know, humility goes a long way. And, you know, you need to approach it with humility. You are there to help them. You are the conduit to get them connected to the appropriate department or the appropriate person within the system. And so that's what I see the role of the supervisor is.
Mm-hmm. Powerful, powerful. I like that. And so when you think about the relationship county government is to have to the state and federal governments, can you make a statement about that?
Well,
because I'm asking the other candidate the same question. So
okay, and this may be a little startling for your listeners, but I was talking to this friend of mine from RCRC the other day, and I said, when is the state going to step in and help out Shasta County, kind of help calm things down? And she said, well, Governor Newsom is kind of checked out. He didn't get the nod to run for president. And so this is her observation. She's worked in Sacramento her entire life. And she said, basically, the sentiment in Sacramento is just let Shasta County implode. And then they can turn to the other counties and say, don't do what Shasta County did.
Wow.
Don't let your political ideologues take over and ruin it for you. And so that was very mind-boggling to me. It was very discouraging to me. But that's why it's so important. This election is so important. We have to take care of our own problem. And that's why I'm more committed than ever to stick it out and to fight for Shasta County and to bring it back to a functioning county where people get along and work together.
I think that's imperative. Mm-hmm. This is a segment of Candidate Interviews and Voter Information presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. We are here in conversation with Shasta County Board of Supervisor District 3 candidate and incumbent Mary Rickert. In these programs, we're talking with each candidate that's running for the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 3. We're here in conversation with Mary Rickert. One of the things, too, that I wanted to ask you and the other candidate, if you felt someone else that's running for office was more qualified than you, would you think you'd have the capacity to step down and endorse and work with them, support
Absolutely.
Them?
Absolutely. I wouldn't hesitate for a moment. This isn't about me. This is about the county. This is about the people of Shasta County. I really, truly believe that I bring a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom and knowledge that some of the other candidates that ran and are currently on the board, you know, some of them never served on a board. And you've seen my list of involvement. Yeah. It goes on for a page and a half. And it's because I've always cared about my community. I have a track record, a proven track record, that I do care about the county, that I do want to make it a better place. I know, like in the Intermountain area in 1991, I started, it was an idea I got from one of my brothers, the Bernie Fall River Education Foundation. There's been well over $1 million pumped into the school district up there to help for the education of our young people. And those are the kinds of things that are really important to me, is to make a difference in my own community. And so as I evolved and got older, more experience, I felt it was time in 2016 to run for supervisor and to bring all that knowledge to the county and to see what I could do to make this improve the quality of life and make Shasta County a better place to live. Especially, you know, we all have our children, our grandchildren, that we want them to carry on the torch, and we want to set a good example for them too.
Yes. And I think it's important for people to realize it's very different to live, you might say, in the heart of Redding and the whole way of life here versus very rural.
Very rural.
You know, travel for one, like you mentioned that, and opportunities. And so creating those opportunities where people live is very important to the youth.
Well, and it's lot of people don't realize this, but I always say if you want your kids to have a lot of opportunities, put them in a small school.
Yes.
Because our kids went through Fall River High School, and because it's a small school, you could be on any sports team, you could play in the band, you could do about anything you wanted, very active in FFA, because there was always openings.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it actually, I think that's why we raised such a great crop of young people in Fall River Valley, is because they are so actively engaged in so many things in high school and elementary school. So, and we aren't distracted up there. We don't have a lot of, well, now we don't have a movie theater. I mean, we just like, okay, keep the kids busy, and boy, it really happens.
That's great. I love that. One of the things that's not on our list of questions that I wanted to ask you about, because you might say comes from our conversation. How do you feel about having lots of funding from outside of Shasta County come in and influence what transpires in the electoral, you know, the election process?
Well, that's been a concern. I don't think that we would be where we are today if there hadn't been outside money put into several races in this county. I think that's given an unfair advantage. And I'll be perfectly blunt. So much of the information that was disseminated by those particular candidates was not true. I mean, having lived here for 50 years, having been a part of the board, I just know the truth. And people need to be very hesitant about what they're being told. I had somebody the other day tell me that my opponent's campaign told them that I wanted to run for ulterior motives, and I'm still scratching my head on that.
What does that mean?
And what does that mean? What are my ulterior motives? You know, I have no idea, but I guess they're grasping at straws, but that's just not true. I'm here. If I haven't proven to people I'm here because I want to be to help the county, then, you know, I guess I can't convince them, because I haven't benefited from anything as a supervisor.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you, you know, one thing I want to talk about too is I voted adamantly no on the pay raises. The salary for a supervisor is $52,000 a year, and they jumped it up to $85,000. Plus a $5,000 stipend for car allowance. And I would go through that in about 4 months with my gas bills of about $800 a month that I pay for. And I think it's just wrong. And so I went to our auditor, and what I'm doing is I'm taking a portion of that salary raise, because I couldn't reject it. I tried to. And I'm giving it back to the Employee Appreciation Day a fund. And so And if reelected, one of the first things I want to propose is to rescind that pay raise, because some of these supervisors have other jobs. So they're getting $85,000 plus $5,000, that's $90,000 plus another job. So I just don't think that's right at all. Mm-hmm. I just don't.
Mm-hmm. One of the necessary changes to help our local government.
Exactly. And I'm also, for any of you that paid attention to the budgets, we went through the budget carefully this year, and I recommended that we delete the $6,000 they had allocated for supervisors' lunches during board meeting days. So, you know, it just seemed ridiculous. That's something that never existed until this current board. And so they're still angry at me about that. But I just bring my lunch. It's just, you know, that's just part of making a sacrifice and to show the employees that, you know, they need pay raises and we need to make budget cuts wherever we can. And giving a 70% pay raise to yourself just wasn't the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's troubling, isn't it?
It was disturbing to me, yeah, extremely so.
Really? So what is it you want to, you know, thinking about voters, listeners out there, we've been covering lots of different areas. Is there anything you haven't shared that you think is important for people to know about you? I mean, I've seen you kind of stand in the fire and keep going.
Yes.
And
I don't give up easy.
Yeah, good.
I'm a country girl, and I don't give up. And perseverance. You know, right now my husband and I are dealing with wolves in Siskiyou County. We've lost 12 head of cattle here recently as a result of wolves. And, you know, that's part of what makes you resilient, is when you deal with the weather and the elements and everything. But I just want people to get out and vote. That's what I really want this particular cycle, be sure to vote November 5th. I beg for your vote so we can get Shasta County back on track.
Yes, I think it's important. And I love the encouragement about voting. You know, sometimes people say, well, my one vote doesn't matter.
It does matter.
It does matter. And it is a way that we participate. There's many places in the world where people are not allowed to vote, don't have the opportunity to vote. My encouragement for voting is we don't want to lose that voice we have when we make a vote.
That's right.
And so it's a way for us to participate and have our voice be heard. Mm-hmm. So Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 3, you're in for, you've been all over the countryside running
yes.
for office.
Yeah, everybody knows.
And how can they make contact with you? How can they reach out to you?
I have a website, voterickert.com, and I don't have access to Facebook or Messenger anymore. I think it was around first part of June, somebody out there disabled my Facebook, and we haven't been able to figure it out yet.
Wow.
How to fix it. And so I apologize to anybody who's trying to get a hold of me, but I do not have access to Facebook and Messenger. So I email me at mrickert@shastacounty.gov.
Yes.
And so that's how I'm trying to encourage people to communicate with me, but it's very frustrating with, and this is not the first time this happened. It's been multiple times, but this time we can't seem to get it fixed. So it's very, very frustrating. And these are the kinds of things I've been dealing with for the last 4 years.
It's pretty intimidating to have all this stuff going on.
Yeah,
exhausting, really.
Yeah, the threats and everything, but I just ignore them.
So running for District 3 Supervisor, Board of Supervisor, you reside in what location?
MacArthur.
Yes.
Yes.
California. Beautiful MacArthur,
yeah,
California.
Yeah, I'm actually 4 miles east of MacArthur.
Oh, so are you?
I'm okay. Even further. As I've said before, I can see Siskiyou, Lassen, and Modoc County from where I live.
And it seems to me you really have a heart for the people and for this whole region.
And for everyone, not yeah. just a select few.
Yeah.
I cannot emphasize that enough. It doesn't matter what your party affiliation is.
Yes. So get out and vote. I want to thank you, Mary Rickert, for coming in, sharing your ideas, your background, your vision. Mm-hmm. And what I notice about you is your experience, your commitment, and what I really appreciate is your outreach to build relationships, not only at a federal, state, and local level, mm-hmm. but with people, individuals, and to encourage them to be mm-hmm. engaged in our community.
Part of the solution.
That's part of the solution.
Right.
I like that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. This has been a segment of Candidate Interviews presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio is a nonprofit organization. We stay alive by your donations. If you can make a donation to help us, please do so by going to www.kkrn.org. Click the button Donate, or you can mail a check in to KKRN Community Radio, P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, 96065. I want to thank you for joining us.